For people who follow God, love is very important. The Bible tells us that God is love. Jesus said the two greatest commands in the Old Testament are love God with your entire being, and second, love your neighbor as yourself. In fact, he said that all the law and the prophets turned or hung on those two commands. We can't obey those commands without love. So love's pretty important. When Jesus gave his followers a new command, it involved love. It was to love. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved, so you must love one another. To love is very important to God and to those who would follow God. But the way Jesus loves is different from the way the world loves. For Jesus, love is a choice and a commitment that flows from obedience to the Father. For Jesus, love means sacrifice and giving with no expectation of return from the recipient. Greater love has no man than this, to lay down his life for his friends. That's what love means to Jesus. It means to do good when it isn't reciprocated. Actually, especially when it can't be reciprocated. It isn't possible to pay back a friend who has laid down his life for you. If we are to be disciples of God, we must deny ourselves, take up our cross, and do what he does. Jesus was very specific about the difference between the way his followers and the world showed love. He taught, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even the pagans do that? You see, in Jesus' time and today, the world values love, but its definition of love is different from God's definition. To the world, love is a feeling. It's not a choice or a commitment. It doesn't really flow from obeying God. It results from feelings of warmth and closeness. Love in the world may cause someone to be willing to sacrifice, for someone else, at least in the short term. But if their feelings change, or if the person they love, gives nothing in return, then there really is no reason to continue to love. And Jesus was very clear about that. Even those without faith are willing to love those who love them. Without God's command to love, or without our desire to obey and please God, and without receiving love in return, it's really difficult to deny yourself, take up your cross, and show love over the long term. That's one reason the world is so lost. True love rarely lasts. And I'm not talking about just love between a husband and wife. Look, Jesus was not married, and yet he demonstrated true love. I'm talking about the love that Jesus commanded us to show one another. Okay, so please hold that thought about love as we begin to unpack some of what Dion has shared with us over the past few weeks. Dion has presented a series entitled, I Love My Church. It was a series in three parts. The first lesson was entitled, Our Profile, and it placed our church in our historical context. We are part of a movement that wanted to take a step away from many of the disagreements and divisions that separated Christians and to simply focus on the Bible. We are part of a movement that wants to keep it simple and do what the Bible says and to behave like the early church. Sometimes that isn't easy, and oftentimes our movement fails. But our goal is pretty pure. Can we all just agree to stick with the Bible? The second lesson was called Our Predicament. And it discussed how research points to declining numbers of church attendance for our movement. Dion cited the work of two Church of Christ researchers and the statistical analysis of a select number of churches experiencing declines in attendance. In attendance, in new Christians, and fewer young people. Dion also discussed the reasons the researchers gave for that decline that they observed and compared that to our experience. The third lesson, called Our Potential, centered on three challenges or calls to action to this body. And those calls were from Dion. A call to prayer, a call to grow big, by growing smaller, and finally, a call to turn objections into opportunities. This morning, I'd like to dig a little deeper with some of these concepts so that we can continue our tradition of maturing and growing in our walk with Christ. Let me start with our predicament and the proposition that Sunday morning attendance is in decline. I really can't speak to whether the churches the researchers analyzed in their study are representative of the wider Church of Christ movement as a whole. And I can't speak to how representative of this body that particular study was. But I can speak to this. There are several large-scale studies undertaken by qualified professionals that all point to the same conclusion. Attendance is dropping for all church denominations, all church groups in this country. Fewer Americans attend church than before, and the trend is for that drop in attendance to continue. Our movement is not the only church group experiencing decline. In fact, a recurring seven-year survey of faith in America reported a few years ago that the Restoration Movement churches are experiencing less decline than most other churches. Our drop in numbers has been gradual. The drop for some others has been pretty steep. But even though our movement has lost less than others, the fact remains that attendance in our movement has been falling. Dion cited the researchers' reasons for the decline and compared them to our own experience. There were three reasons for declining membership. First, we have traded commitment for comfort. Second, our evangelism has disappeared. And third, we are no longer our community's church. Let's talk a little about disappearing evangelism. Dion noted that when evangelism disappears, you can expect fewer converts. When you have fewer converts, you can expect eventually fewer members. And it is true. There was a time when churches of Christ were much more active in evangelism. Churches had door-knocking campaigns and bus ministries. It is also true that if you look at the body that meets here on Sunday morning, we don't have a lot of baptisms or new converts or public rededications. I think over this year there have been three baptisms, and glory to God for each one of them. But it is also true that if you step back a bit and include not only the body that meets here on Sunday morning, but also the church families that this family is in relationship with and supports financially. In other words, if you include the baptisms of the two churches in Guyana that we support, we need to add 15 more souls to the number that have been baptized. And glory to God for each one of those 15 precious converts added to his kingdom. Due to God's movement in this church and your generosity, this church is participating in successful evangelism. Maybe we haven't been wildly successful here in Reynoldsburg, but our financial support is making a difference in the wider kingdom of God, and that is eternal. What's more, in addition to those 15 baptisms, half a dozen more members in Guyana rededicated themselves publicly to God. And it isn't just our church that is experiencing success evangelizing in South America. Many other churches are as well, and not just in South America, but in Africa and Asia. I don't want to mislead this church and say that everything is okay with our evangelism. We need to do more, as Jesus commanded us to make disciples. My point here is that we are a little different, and our church family is a little wider than what meets here on Sunday morning. And taken as a whole, we are growing, and growing in ways that resemble church growth in the Bible and in ways that God calls. Another reason for declining numbers is that we are no longer the community's church. Dion posed the question as it relates to our presence in the community: if we ceased to exist, would anyone notice? The need to be present and visible in our community flows from following Jesus. Jesus was present and visible in his community. It is also a pattern that we see in the early church, as described in the Bible. But it is also true that if we ceased to exist, I do believe individuals in our community would notice. Every family that gets groceries and a meal at Community of Care would notice. The staff and students at Slate Ridge Elementary would notice. Not only do we provide weekend meals for the students with greatest need, which we do without anyone asking, Slate Ridge will contact us periodically with specific needs, knowing that we will respond. Sometimes our responses have been so vigorous that Slate Ridge has said, okay, we don't need any more of that particular item. Thank you. The members of the community that participate in our summer weekend evening cookouts, they would miss us. And businesses in our community have expressed a desire to help us in these outreaches because they have seen the church serving the needs of this community. I think this church would be missed by the community. There are plenty more needs to meet, and the fields are white with harvest, but you are doing a great work in this community. Dion also noted that the members of this church do not necessarily match the demographics of our community, and that too is true. While the body that meets here on Sunday morning is diverse, our surrounding community of Reynoldsburg is significantly more diverse. And yet, here again, if we step back a little and consider the wider picture, if we include not only our church family that meets on Sunday morning, but also the church family that meets here on Sunday afternoon, because we embrace each other with the unity God wants, then yes, together we do begin to resemble the demographics of our community. We worship God in English, they worship God in Spanish, yet we are one in Christ. We are partners in Christ with the Spanish-speaking church, and together we serve and are present in our community. In fact, this past summer, our Wednesday evening cookouts were a joint partnership effort with both church families for the benefit of our community. And the crowning event of that summer partnership was the carnival that Paul and Ellie organized. The members of this body really showed up and served at the carnival. You gave of your time, you gave of your extra clothes, you gave of your finances in purchasing school supplies, you gave of your talents in caring for and interacting with our visitors. The way you embraced the service and school supply-oriented carnival this summer is a wonderful example of how this body is present and engaged with our community. You are faithful, energetic, and loving church. We honor God, we obey His commands, and we continue to strive to follow Him. Is there more that we can do? Certainly. Are we already responding to God's call? Yes, we are. So, well done, church. Keep it up and stay strong. Okay, so what is our response to living in a time of declining church attendance? What is our response to living in an age and society that has less interest in faith? Our response is that we will serve the Lord. We will continue to honor God. We will continue to obey His commands. He is our God, and we are His people. Whether God's church is growing or shrinking, we will stay focused on being His disciples and making more disciples. I'm not worried if others reject faith. I believe those who turn from God will fail to be fulfilled no matter what. And like the prodigal son, when they come to their senses, they will return to God. God created people to be one with Him and one with each other. Living life apart from God and without being connected to people in loving relationship is pretty empty. God made us to need love. Our primary need is to be important to someone else. If we obey God's commands, if we love God with all our being, if we love our neighbors as ourselves, if we love each other as Jesus loves us, then we will be ready to fulfill the greatest need of those who are lost, and that is to be loved, truly loved, as Jesus defines love. The world hungers for the love that God offers through his disciples, love that cannot be repaid, and love that gives from commitment. That's the remedy. And this duty to love as God loves fits squarely into Dion's conclusion to his I Love My Church series. In his sermon titled Our Potential, Dion made three specific calls and challenges. He called us to prayer. He called us to grow bigger by growing smaller. And finally, to turn objections into opportunity. I would like to talk about growing bigger by growing smaller. This is a call to relationship the same way Jesus modeled relationship and the way the early church practiced relationship. Dion challenged each of us to get connected in meaningful friendships through a small group. Be a small group, a Bible study, an interest or service group, the type of group, it really doesn't matter. What matters is that we connect, probably weekly, with others who know us, who love us, and who are willing to hold us to our best. This type of relationship that Jesus shared with his disciples, this is the type of accountability that Eric spoke about during communion. Why is connecting like this so important? Well, there are several reasons. First, we are commanded to love another. It's hard to do that without being connected to others. Second, we are commanded to submit to one another and to confess our sins to each other. Again, it's hard to do that without being connected and close to others. Moreover, we are commanded to bear each other's burdens. Look, we are each flawed, fatally flawed. We are each built of crooked timber. Growing close to God and to others is a constant decision to surrender. And that might be the most important reason to connect with others. We are all a little bit like the rich young ruler. I think we all know are familiar with the rich young ruler from the Gospels. This was the man who wanted to follow God. This was a man who was willing to obey the Ten Commandments, or at least the ones that Jesus specifically mentioned at that time. This was a man who wanted to know what good thing he must do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus asked him to give up the one thing that he was unwilling to give up. I think we each have that one thing that we are not willing to give. We each have a part of our life that we reserve only for ourselves. No one else, not even God, is allowed. And as long as we hold on to that one thing, we aren't really able to mature as Christians. We each really need to deal with that one thing. The problem is we structure our lives to avoid admitting. We deny that there's that one thing. We often fool ourselves. But a close friend can help us face those kinds of denials and help us truly surrender them to God. This is what accountability is. That is what happens when we truly connect. That is what it means to grow bigger by growing smaller. We can hold each other to our best. And this is why Dion has challenged us to grow big by growing smaller. God calls us to be one with him and one with each other. He has commanded that we love each other and to love our neighbor. Whether God's church is growing or declining, our instructions are clear. Jesus said that if he is lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. Are we ready to lift Jesus up? Are we ready to follow his example and obey his commands? The fields are white with harvest. If you are ready to join in Jesus and follow his example, please join us as we sing.